This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
A legend of college football has passed away, Michael. Lou Holtz, who led Notre Dame to a national championship in 1988... and really rebuilt a lot of programs and then became very popular in the broadcast world, has passed away at the age of 89. According to a statement released by Notre Dame, Holtz died in Orlando, Florida, where he was surrounded by family. Spokesperson said a cause of death was not provided by the family. Mike, Lou Holtz, where does he... like, he's one of the big names in all of college sports. Obviously became famous for his coaching prowess and then became a very good commentator on all things college football. He's going to be missed, man. For me personally, I knew him more on, you know, from his broadcast, from his commentator days, but certainly one of the greats when you're talking about college football.
I knew him more from his days in Notre Dame. Like, I could always watch those Notre Dame games. Back where I was, I could never watch the Huskies game. So I was a Huskies and Irish fan and always looked forward to watching his teams, and they were great. And then I think he had health issues and had to leave. But
is he one of the top coaches? Top 10, maybe? Not quite.
I don't know if you could say quite top 10. I mean, he didn't have the best part of his career when he went to South Carolina, but I think if he had continued at Notre Dame, he would probably be in the top 10. Certainly a legend, certainly a beloved man.
No question. And had a little tiny brief rivalry moment with the Colorado Buffaloes back in the 90s, too.
Yeah, when the Buffaloes illegitimately won the national championship. Fifth down.
You can't have five downs?
Can't have five downs.
Boy.
I'll give the referees a bit of a pass. Someone was having a heart attack in the stands.
Yeah, that was a weird story. That was a very weird story. The Bills gave Josh Allen a weapon today. The Bills landed top target DJ Moore, Chicago Bears, former Chicago Bears wide receiver. DJ Moore's going to Buffalo. Buffalo's sending a 2026 second-round draft pick to Chicago in exchange for Moore and a 2026 fifth-round selection, according to Adam Schefter. The Bills will be guaranteeing $15.5 million of Moore's $23.5 million base salary in 2028, according to agents Drew Rosenhaus and Robert Bailey.
So, that'll help them get to the AFC Championship. And no past.
Really?
Not get to the Super Bowl.
You just think the Bills are destined to never go to the Super Bowl?
I kind of fear that. I'm getting those vibes.
The New England Patriots informed veteran wide receiver Stephon Diggs that he will be released at the start of the 2026 league year next week, according to a league source. Now, Diggs' name came up. Apparently, we found out that he during Super Bowl week that Diggs had some interest and the Broncos had some interest in joining forces last season. Now, Diggs has some stuff going on right now. He's facing felony strangulation and other criminal charges stemming from an alleged dispute with his personal chef. Diggs has pleaded not guilty to the charges. He's next scheduled to appear for a pretrial hearing April 1st. I put the question out there last night. Do you, is that a guy you would like to see take the, if you took this away, which I know that's easier said than done, if you took his off the field stuff away, if it turns out that he's not guilty, does that change your thought process there? He's a little bit of a drama queen, had issues with Josh Allen. He had issues pretty much everywhere he's everywhere he's been. Is he a guy, even if you take away the most recent off the field? I mean, he had issues in Minnesota. He had issues with the Bills. Couldn't get along with Josh Allen. If you, you know, I don't know, his time in Houston was interesting.
I don't want issues. I don't want issues off the field. I don't want
so,
issues
but if you
field.
Erase off the field, would you sign him up?
No.
They were interested last year. Apparently, the Broncos and Diggs, his camp, they were both kind of interested.
Yeah, both kind of interested. The off the field stuff's the real red flag, though, because a lot of times when you have one off the field issue, you're going to have a bunch of off the field issues.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I'm probably going to be a pass on that. Yeah,
and I'm hoping. I don't know if he's guilty or not. I'm hoping whatever happens, this is the last issue that he has. If he's guilty, I hope
he's a talented player. Talented player.
Whatever happens, he has a good life. Just don't want any of that on my team.
I think I'm out on going after a free agent wide receiver. I think I'm out on it. Even Alec Pierce, who I don't think is much of a drama guy, but I think you put a lot of the eggs in the basket of a Travis Etienne. That's kind of where I'd go. I kind of like the idea of Isaiah Likely, Baltimore Ravens tight end. Assuming like he's a free agent, right? They're not going to bring him back. They don't have room for that. They might be in the market actually to draft a tight end because that's a big part of what they do in Baltimore, but you can't really pay two big tight ends. Mike, do you want a crazy story? You want a crazy story today?
I do.
The men's basketball program at California State University Bakersfield. Now, they're not good. They're last in the Big West, but there's some scandal happening here. So at the time, August 29th, this guy's no longer the coach. At the time, Rod Barnes was the head coach. He opened an anonymous email. This is from ESPN. He opened an anonymous email from a tipster who alleged that Barnes's a temporary assistant coach, Kevin Mays, was also working as a pimp across four states. Other lawsuits, internal investigations, dismissals, and finger-pointing have only served to deepen the department's sense of crisis, according to ESPN. In this email, the tipster identified a woman whom Mays allegedly had trafficked for several months. The headline in the email, "Fix it or the whole staff will fall." Adding that the email was a first warning and a final warning. Barnes forwarded the anonymous email to the university's human resources office, which sent it to the university police, triggering an investigation that led to criminal charges against Mays. Mays is now being held without bail, faces a hefty rap sheet of 11 criminal and misdemeanor charges, including felonies such as pimping. He also was charged with possession of automatic firearms and high-capacity magazines and possession of methamphetamine and marijuana with intent to sell. Separate charges cited him for possession of more than 600 images of youth or child pornography and distribution of obscene matter involving someone under 18 years old. Now, Mays has pleaded not guilty on all charges. His attorney, David Torres, declined comment to ESPN. This is wild. So the case kind of started to reverberate around Cal State Bakersfield. So then the school announced in September, remember the season getting ready to start, Barnes and athletic director Kyle Condor had left their roles. Barnes ended a 14-year career as head basketball coach that included taking the team to an NCAA tournament and an NIT tournament. The school did not explain the reason behind their departures, and neither Condor nor Barnes agreed to talk to ESPN in a formal interview. This is an absolutely crazy, crazy story. The senior director of strategic communications, Jennifer Self, told ESPN in an email that the charges against Mays were deeply concerning, She said that even though the allegations didn't involve a student, the school consulted with a local human trafficking expert and offered awareness and education training on campus. Wonder what that's like. Self also added, we also viewed this moment as an opportunity to take a broader look at our athletic program, structural and administrative changes to better align the program with the university's mission and values. That is, I mean, why? The question I have then, like, why was Barnes dismissed? Did they dig something up where maybe he knew a little bit of what was going on, and maybe the email was not the first time he'd been alerted to this, that perhaps he knew a little bit more? Or do you say, hey, man, we gotta wash away all of this because you brought in a guy that is allegedly a very, very bad, bad human? The anonymous message outlining Mays' alleged pimping took Barnes by shock, according to the police account of an interview with him. Mays took the job as a temporary assistant coach in June at a salary of just over $3,000 per month, according to school records. Man. Now, he played basketball. He played at the university from 2014 to 2016. So he played there, too. That's one of those stories, Mike, that you read that and you're like, what is going on? Because it just gets worse as it goes.
I smell death penalty for this program.
Maybe. I mean, you hire a guy like that. I mean, I don't know, though, Mike. How are you supposed to know all of it? He played for your college, but apparently a tipster out of nowhere started throwing around threats like, you need to get rid of this guy or I'm taking the whole program down. And then that kind of stuff, and then they move on from their coach, their AD, and that kind of stuff makes me wonder if there was a deeper investigation that led them to believe that perhaps the powers that be, the coach in question, knew a little bit more than he let on, even though the police report said he was shocked by the email.
I mean, it's possible this he's pleaded innocent, so... it's possible maybe he's been involved in this since he was a student. I mean, what was it,
2014 to 2016.
So he could have been doing this for years.
I guess. The email, also in all caps, says this. He is trafficking a girl by the name of, and that was redacted from the email. He has been trafficking this girl since May. Man. The university police tried to contact the sender of the email on September 3rd for more information. In a subsequent email, the tipster claimed to have known both the alleged victims and Mays through previous travel for sex work. The context of the email suggested the person was a fellow sex worker. Mays told the tipster he was a professional gambler, according to the second email, and that he allegedly threatened to take away the tipster's child if the person exposed his activities. The sender also gave police the alleged victim's phone number and noted she previously had been arrested in Oregon on a DUI charge in a car that Mays had provided. Wow. This is a first. Is this a first? I don't remember hearing many stories like this.
I mean, I'm sure it's not the first that someone at a university has done something like this, but first in an athletic program that I can recall.
Yeah, wild. 12:19 the time. We'll take a quick break here. Coming up, what will the Broncos do? The free agency negotiation window begins in just 4 days. Are the Broncos considering a guy like Kenneth Walker or Travis Etienne or someone else? We'll get into that coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. On Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 1310 KFKA.
Find out what's happening in your community. Sports news and talk. Good morning, NoCo. Weekdays 6 to 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, everybody. Steve Smiley, head men's basketball coach at the University of Northern Colorado, and you are listening to the whole show on KFKA.
Well, you can tell everybody, yeah, you can tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man.
I don't know what's wrong with you, Mike, but I like it sometimes. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado.
There's nothing wrong with me. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, no, you're very normal. Let me tell you about the Eaton Country Club. I'm no longer saying it's Northern Colorado's hidden gem. It's just Northern Colorado's gem of a golf course in Eaton at the Eaton Country Club. It's they have some of the best greens in Northern Colorado. And listen, we know how pricey golf can get, but they have so many great deals going on, such as their junior membership for people 29 years and younger. Michael, we do not qualify for that. You can sign up for tournaments, too, that are open to the public if you want to get, you know, a feel for the golf course. And maybe that's going to become your new home this summer at the Eaton Country Club. Visit EatonCC.com. .net. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043.
You know, Michael. It's a hidden gem for people who don't know where Eaton is.
That's true. Who doesn't know where Eaton is?
People who are new to the area, and also me, I kind of know where Eaton is.
You think you could get there on your scoot? You think you could scoot to Eaton?
No, I can't get there.
You could try. You know, you don't know if you don't try.
I need a bigger battery.
Okay.
Well, battery that lasts longer.
Maybe you can find one. Maybe find one on the black market? Dark web?
I don't know how to get there.
To dark web?
Yeah.
I don't either. Probably shouldn't dig into that.
Yeah, I'm not gonna put that on my internets. How do you get to the dark web?
Yeah, don't do that. I feel like
you're
gonna
get a tracker, a government tracker on there.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. Michael, what do you think about Isaiah Likely? I guess he's kind of current, but soon to be former Baltimore Ravens tight end. He was like the backseat guy to Mark Andrews, and clearly they just paid Mark Andrews 2 years ago. He had 27 catches for 301 yards and a touchdown in 2025. It was down from his production in 2024, but perhaps, you know, Baltimore was a very confusing beast this year. Lamar Jackson wasn't right. So much of what they were wanting to do really revolved around Lamar's health, and clearly he didn't have that. Is Isaiah Likely somebody the Broncos should consider going after? He was drafted in the fourth round of the 2022 draft. He was pick number 139 for the Baltimore Ravens. I'm at the point where I want to go big or go home with the tight end position. Likely, could he jump into a first tight end role? Evan Ingram is still, unless the Broncos decide to move on from him for some reason, but he would likely be the number two tight end behind an Evan Ingram, or I guess, you know, Troutman. Sean Payton loves him some Adam Troutman, and so they still might bring him back. They like his blocking ability. I don't know, man. But you have to take in consideration he was a second tight end for Baltimore. That's why his numbers look very much like a second tight end.
Well, if he joins the Broncos, as you said, he will likely be you're the one that said it.
I said
likely be the second.
Yeah, but I wasn't actually meaning it like that. I was just talking like a normal person.
Likely.
Yeah. Yes or no on Isaiah Likely?
Can we get him for cheap?
Probably.
Yeah, yeah. I like that one.
He's probably the bigger name, probably the biggest name as far as when it comes to tight ends. So I would say, you know, in free agency, I still like the idea, man, of moving up in the trade to get the tight end out of Oregon, Kenyon Sadiq. I really like him.
You like him more than Likely?
Mm-hmm. Now, with Sadiq, he's not like the premier blocking type tight end, I guess you'd say. But he's definitely one of the big names in this draft. I think he would be interesting. He's 6'3", 245 pounds. He's definitely more of that wide receiver tight end hybrid guy who could play. He could probably move around a lot in the field, but you know, Denver went a lot last year, Mike, with those jumbo packages. So can I just say this? Like, I hope Davis Webb, I'm still like wondering what the offense is going to look like. Can I say this though? I'm not like, is Sean Payton's offense fun to watch? Like, we keep throwing out these names like Breece Hall, which that sounds like that's not going to happen now. And it sounds like the Broncos were sniffing around, and that's why the Jets tagged him, because they wanted to make sure they were protected there. But we keep throwing around Breece Hall and Travis Etienne, and could they use a tight end like Isaiah Likely? Could they draft Kenyon Sadiq? I don't know if I'm confident if Denver goes out and spends a lot of money on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, where was Evan Ingram this year, Mike? Evan Ingram really wasn't that much of an upgrade at your tight end position. Is that Ingram's fault or is that scheme fault?
I'm leaning towards scheme.
Is it a boring offense? Sean Payton, this is part of the move to go with Davis Webb, is Sean Payton's style. Because the Broncos offense was ultimately like middle of the road this year. And I think the only reason they were middle of the road is because they turned it on in the fourth quarter. How many games did they win in the fourth quarter? It was a lot. Tons of games they were winning in the fourth quarter. But unless they just have a complete change of thinking on the offensive side of the ball, I don't, you know, we can keep throwing these names out till we're blue in the face. I'll believe it when I see it. Now, when they put money toward defensive players, it worked out. I think J.K. Dobbins has been one of their better free agent signings on the offensive side of the ball, Mike. I mean, obviously, the offensive line, they, you know, signed McGlinchey and Ben Powers, and those guys have turned out to be pretty good. But as far as skill players, who stands out as a top-tier free agent that the Broncos have signed in the last 3 years? I think it's J.K. Dobbins. Nobody else has really stood out. I just don't know if I'm all that excited to watch Sean Payton's offense, and all these names we keep throwing out are fun to dream about, but I'll just believe it when I see it, and I think that's why I feel kind of... I don't know what kind... Everyone's acting like Davis Webb. We know so much about Davis Webb. The only thing we know about Davis Webb is that he was a likable guy, very smart guy. Even when he was playing backup quarterback, there was a sense that he was a very good at football mind. But Mike, we don't know what kind of style he's going to bring. We don't know what kind of coordinator, assuming he officially will be the guy calling plays, or if he's just going to hand the plays to Sean Payton, and then Sean gets to, I heard one podcast talking about, well, here's how it's going to go. Davis Webb's going to be up in the booth. He's going to give Sean Payton a play call, and Sean's going to be the one to decide whether he wants to run that or not. And if he vetoes that, he just runs his own thing. I don't know if you have enough time to do all of that, you know, before the play starts.
That sounds like more delay of games and wasted timeouts.
That's a fear of mine. That's fear of mine.
Yeah, I would just rather have Sean. I would rather have Sean Payton call the plays than have two cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah, and I don't know if I'm crazy about Davis Webb up in the booth, because everything we kept hearing was like he was this good in between Sean and Bo Nix, and that he really worked well with Bo on the sidelines, sitting down and going over things.
Yeah, I'd rather have my coach on the sideline. I know some coaches love the booth. I don't know. I just. Maybe I'm just
you get
old
a better
school.
If you're a play caller, you just get a better view. You know, it's easier to really get the feel, I think, of the game from a play caller's perspective. But from a feel of the game perspective, you want guys there on the sidelines.
Maybe that's why you have a guy up there going, "Hey, this secret inside information's happening," and you can adapt that way.
Well, again, my point on Davis Webb is it's kind of like the Bo Nix thing. I feel like there's a lot of people in the Denver media and maybe just NFL media that are telling us that Bo has already arrived, that are telling us that Davis Webb, oh my goodness, good thing you guys did not let him slip. I'm not saying that's not true. I'm just, have we seen anything? What have we seen? You know, Davis Webb, I think, called plays in a preseason game this year, Mike. And was that against, who did they play in the preseason? Come on. Was it San Francisco?
The
no. Who did they play in the preseason? San Francisco. It was that. I believe it was either the Arizona game or the San Francisco game. And either way, you scored 30 points against San Francisco and you scored 27 against Arizona. And that was with Stidham primarily leading the charge. Might have been the San Francisco game. I think it was that was the game Davis Webb called plays. So that's kind of what we have to go off of. Plus, you know, he got a good, a quick reputation of being able to help Bo Nix and help him kind of grow. That's what we know right now about Davis Webb. Not a whole lot.
It was the Arizona Cardinals game.
That was the Cardinals game.
The Broncos scored 27.
Look at you go. It was the Cardinals game. So that would have been the second preseason game for Denver.
And the offense produced 562 total yards with backup quarterbacks passing for 402.
Look at that. Yeah, Jared Stidham had 240 yards passing in the game and two tutties, and Sam Ehlinger had 162 yards in that one, and then they ran for 167 yards. So I'll be interested to see just how all of this plays out. I think it could either turn out to be Davis Webb is this great offensive-minded guy, and it's a good thing Sean Payton did what he could to keep him, or you're going to get into like a weird dramatic situation where it turns out that Davis Webb was never really going to be given the keys 100% to call plays in. It was still going to come down to Sean Payton.
And we're going to find that out real soon. Like, we're going to find that out in the preseason. We're going to have a lot of delay of games. If we have a lot of delay of games,
then you know what's going on. Then you know Davis Webb is throwing calls to Sean, and Sean's like, I don't like that. I don't like that. I don't like that. Kind of like a catcher and a pitcher, and a pitcher waving off a pitch. No, don't like that one. Not doing that. Mm-mm. Okay, now I like that one. Let's go. Oh, you have 10 seconds to get it to Bo. And that's a fear of mine. When it's not clunky. Sean has said it directly on many different media outlets that he is going to give over play calling duties to Davis Webb. He said that. But just have a hard time believing it.
Saying is one thing.
That's true, Mike.
He seems sincere. Seems sincere, but you know, we've been burned before. Many coaches have been sincere about things, and then, you know, you find out the exact opposite happens.
Well, we might not even know if a change happens throughout the season. Like, if it's Davis Webb to start, and then suddenly it's Sean Payton again, I'm sure if it's successful, Sean will let us know. Yeah, kind of took over calling a few plays there, yeah. But if it's not, we may never know. It's a big season coming up. Aaron says, if I were a head coach, my coordinators would be up in the booth. Agreed. Calling the game, and my position coaches would be handling the position groups on the field. I agree. I just think that's what you hear is, you know, the view, the angles, everything. It's just it gives you a better feel for the play calling portion of the game. 38 minutes after the hour, the Nuggets have the Lakers tonight. Nuggets head coach David Adelman sticking up for his guy, Nikola Jokic, saying that, we'll hear from David Adelman and what he had to say about his superstar coming up next. But first, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Now, and I'm going to keep saying this. I'm not saying this to, it's not being biased to my own player. Nobody's being guarded like him in the league. Nobody. Nobody's going at the needs of other MVPs. No one's taking shots like he's taking. But that's our reality. And so we have to continue just to try to win games. He has to play through that physicality. I have to find place on the court where he can play in space. That's on me. So there's no excuses because of the whistle's not. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. So the game continues. So we'll deal with it as long as we can. At the same time, I have no problem with him reacting. Reacting is part of being a human being, like I said. So if it continues, we'll react accordingly.
All right, there's Nuggets head coach David Adelman discussing the Nikola Jokic kind of, I don't know what you want to call it, situation. at hands. I mean, I hear Tanner Schwint on Good Morning NoCo. I hear a lot of people really leaning in on, wow, Joker's becoming tougher to watch lately. He's flopping more. He's bitching at the referees more, even though he said he wasn't going to do it. I've definitely seen, if you want to take the whole body of work this season, I've seen Joker back down a little more. However, it does seem like since coming back from the injury, he's been on the referee's case a bit more. But I agree with David Adelman, and I know it sounds like I'm just like an apologist for anything that Joker does, but that's not true. I've acknowledged that he flops. I acknowledge that he does. He participates in portions of this game in 2026 and the things that I don't like about it. But he also does so many of the things that I want the NBA to do more of. I want more teams to do more of. I want players to become more like Joker and have a style of play like Joker. But he's not wrong. Adelman's not wrong. I do not see aggressive double teams and guys getting so freaking handsy with LeBron James on an I don't watch every Lakers game. I don't watch every single game with every other superstar on it. But I've certainly seen pretty much every Nuggets game. And I've seen games where they go against superstars. And I don't see the Nuggets guard superstars the way that Joker's being guarded. And when I am watching out-of-market basketball, I don't see it. I don't see Luka getting attacked like this. And again, part of that is the position. Joker's a big guy. So coaches tell their, hey, guards, you go be pesky with him. Look what Alex Caruso did to Joker in the playoffs last year. They ain't calling it, man. So you go put your ass into him and you push and you push and you push until you almost fall to the ground. He's going to fall on top of you. He's not going to have any options. He can't just grab you and move you out of the way. That will be a foul call. I get his frustration. I do. I don't know. Like, what is he supposed to do? I asked Dempsey this the other day. Like, what are you supposed to do when you're constantly getting all of these players that are just going at you in such an aggressive way, especially guards, and you can't do anything? Because if you retaliate, that's going to be an obvious one. Big man retaliate against smaller guard, they're going to call stuff. So Joker just kind of has to sit there for the most part and deal with it and take it. And I think that's unfortunate. And listen, that's been part of the game. Like, I maintain that flopping in the NBA is way worse of a problem than tanking in the NBA. Although it was a fascinating, well, maybe we'll play this if we have time, but you remember Jeremy Lin? Do we have time? Do you want to play that now? Jeremy Lin was on you remember him? Lin Sanity?
I remember him being on the cover of Sports Illustrated after having a great month for the Knicks.
He was like the at the time, he was like the Tim Tebow of the NBA.
Yeah, he was like the
everybody loved
thing.
Him. He was on a podcast recently talking about tanking, and this is a creepy, eerie story to just hear it be said. We all kind of had an idea that this was happening, but here is Jeremy Lin talking about a specific case of tanking that he witnessed while he played, when he was playing really, really well. Here it is.
I'm not going to name the organization because I'm not trying to throw anyone under the bus, but there was one specific game where it really hit me. Was I had 20 and 10 after three quarters. We're up about 15. And in the fourth quarter in overtime, I didn't play 1 second. And so I'm looking at the assistant coach watching our lead go down. I have 20 and 10 after three quarters. Like, I'm on pace to have a real nice game. And he goes, yeah, we got the call from above. You're done for tonight. I was like, what? Like, who picked up the phone? How'd y'all get on the phone in the middle of the game? And he's like, I'm like, what happened? But they got a look from somebody in the crowd, was like, nah, like, so me and this other player, who was doing really, he had like 25 after three quarters. They were both like, yo, those two, they're done. And so we ended up losing in overtime. And this was against another team that was also tied for last. Mm-hmm. And they were trying to get, you know, the best projection and the odds to get the number one pick.
That is, I mean, when you hear it like that, Mike, it is just, it's weird, man.
Yeah, when you said the other day, players don't tank, organizations tank. That's exactly right.
Yeah, he had no idea that was going to happen. Like, he's not sitting there going, oh, I don't want to go out there and win. Who would that have been with? Was that? I'm trying to, you know, because it wouldn't have been his first, you know, when he went crazy with the Knicks. Was Brooklyn bad?
Was it the Hornets? Was
Could have been.
The
he was with the Hornets for in 2015, 2016. Could have been the Hornets. Yeah, when you hear it from a player and says, dude, I had 20 and 10 through three quarters. We're up by 15. Team we're beating comes back, starts to make it interesting. I'm not getting in. We end up losing the game in overtime. I'm asking, why am I not getting in? And an assistant coach is telling him, we got the call from upstairs. That you're not that you're done for the night.
Yeah, I would appreciate the assistant coach telling me that because I'd just be so mad.
Yeah, well, if you're having a nice game like that, he probably could have ended the night with 30 points that night. 12:49 the time. Rams Weekly coming up at 1 o'clock. We've got the, and I do mean the, Kevin Lytle from the Fort Collins, Colorado, and the Rams get a big one, a monster one, and Ali Farokhmanesh already has 20 wins. We'll talk about that coming up on Rams Weekly. Also, David Roddy's a nugget. That's cool. It's a whole show powered by Mosquito Joe. We'll be right back.
KFKA is the home of the best high school basketball coverage in the state. We are Northern Colorado's voice and your preps leader. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hull, on the whole show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
Welcome back into the show, Big City Roadhouse. Man, we got big plans at the Big City Roadhouse. March 19th will be our watch party there, starting around 10 o'clock. So we're not going to miss a game. The question I have, are we going to be seeing the Rams while we're watching at Big City Roadhouse? Are we going to be seeing the Bears, potentially, while we're watching at Big City Roadhouse? And also, it has been confirmed, the race between Tanner and I is on in the Big City Roadhouse parking lot. We will race 20 yards, and the winner gets the keys to the city.
Are we able to bet on it?
No, I don't think so. Like, maybe if you want to do your own thing, but not, like, there.
Well, I mean, like not...
Well, if you want to buy a beer for somebody, do like that kind of bet, you could do it. But we won't have, like, an illegal gambling here.
Well,
thing.
It's not
like,
gambling.
It's not Tony Soprano.
Not gambling if you don't lose money. Like, if you bet on Brady, you win something. If you bet on Tanner, you... Don't
I'll ask. All I can do is ask. I don't want to keep you from your gambling addiction, so I'll ask and see
if I can gamble.
Well, I'll see. You keep talking about it. So, all right, coming up next, we got Rams Weekly presented by Marinda Simpson with State Farm Insurance. Are the Rams ever going to lose? Again, they may not. They may never lose again. Like in the history of Ali Farokhmanesh's head coaching career. Rams Weekly, coming up next. Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFK.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.